this point. All right. Thank you. Good to be with you. I like in person better. Not that anything is wrong with Zoom, but I am a very computer illiterate, to say the very least. But thank you for having me on here this morning, or this afternoon, I guess it is. And I'd like to read three verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm just picking out a few words from those three verses. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul is writing here, and he says, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again?" I should mention I'm reading from the ESV translation. "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? For yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." And I just want to pick out a few words, first from verse 3, then from verse 2. And it says, "You are a letter." Verse 2 says, "known and read by all." You are a letter, known and read by all. I know that letters are something that are not particularly common these days, at least the letters that come in the mail. There is still post offices working and postmen carrying letters, and you can buy an envelope and put a stamp in the top right-hand corner and your address in the top left and put the name on the letter and forward it, send it on. And I was raised in a day when letters were extremely common. In fact, that's how most of the information we received, it certainly came by letters. And sometimes I'd come home from school, and it wasn't very often, but once in a while, my mom would say, "Stephen, you got a letter." And I would take that letter, maybe from a cousin or something, sit down and with great enthusiasm read the letter. And then I'd read it over again, and then my mother would read it, and then my brothers and sisters would read it, and then they'd talk about it at the table at supper time. And letters, they were great places where you got the information. Most of the information from our families came from letters. And now we read that you and I, as we live in this world, you and I are a letter. And we are being read by everyone. King James says, I believe, by all men. And that letter that you and I are writing is making indelible impressions on the minds and the thoughts and the hearts of people that we meet, be it our, first of all, our family, our children, our wife, our parents, our brothers, our sisters. We make a great impression on our neighbors. We make great impression with the letters that we are writing. The letter that we are writing is impressing not only our neighbors, but those that we work with at the grocery store, this checkout clerk, the gas station, wherever we go. This letter is being written, and people are reading the letter that we write. And I want to try and be conscious of it myself, because sometimes I'm afraid maybe some of the things that they have read in me have not always been the best, not always been good. But we are a letter. and we are being, that letter of ours is being read. In the old days, we used letters a great deal. Telephones were expensive. My mother always had a 3-minute timer sitting beside the phone. She'd call her mother and talk to her, and she'd watch as that sand ran through the timer. And at 3 minutes, she'd say goodbye because it was very expensive talking on the phone. But now we have letters. I have a drawer at my house here, and in that drawer, I've got letters. Letters that impressed me, letters that were encouragement to me, letters that were a blessing, and I still appreciate getting a letter in the mail, black ink on white paper. The drawer has letters from many years ago from our children. And if ever I want to sit down and cry, then I could pull those letters out from the children. Some of them got pictures on them, love you, Daddy, or whatever it was written. As the children got older, there was times we'd get a letter, and sometimes they hurt, because I'd say to the children, tell me what you think. How am I doing as a father? How am I doing day by day? And sometimes, on a few occasions, they wrote a letter, and sometimes it somewhat hurt. But you and I are letters being written into this world, and we are God's letter being written into the world. And I wonder what kind of impressions we're making. Thank God that I believe that every single believer wants to make an impression for the glory of God. I have no doubt about it that we want to bring honor to the Lord in our day-to-day life as we go through life. And I just listened to the announcements that you had about the camp and Morning Star camp and the 4-day camp that is taking place, if I understood it right. And just recently, a few weeks back, I was walking down the streets of Prince Albert, which I do quite often, and came along past a closed up building, and here's a girl sitting on the steps. Her name is Connie, and she's got a shopping cart with probably all her worldly goods inside that shopping cart. And I said, Connie, you mind if I sit down? So I sat down beside her on the step, and I talked to Connie. Well, maybe she talked to me mostly. She, for the first few minutes, she pretty much cursed everybody and the city and the people and everybody she knew. After a few minutes, I said to her, Connie, do you know that good old song, that beautiful song, Jesus Loves Me? And she quietly said, yes, she thinks she remembers that song. So I said, Connie, let's sing it. So I started to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And then Connie joined in quietly. But after about the third line, tears were starting to run down her face. By the time I sang the chorus, I was singing by myself because Connie was crying. I said, Connie, tell me something. Where did you learn that song? Well, she said, I grew up in a reserve in way up north, and there were some very nice people, she said, up there. And those people took me 2 or 3 summers to a Bible camp. And she said, I learned a little bit about Jesus there, and I learned about that song. I learned that song. And she said, I've always remembered that song. You know, that day, because of a letter that was written into her heart by Christians. I don't know who they were, no idea, but there was a letter written into Connie's heart, and that letter was deeply engraved. Someone has said it's far better to engrave our names in the hearts of people than it is to engrave our name in a stone or a bronze or a steel monument, because the name in the heart of a person is going to last for forever. And that day, because of some people, kindness of God's people, speaking into her heart, writing a letter in her heart, it left a deep impression upon Connie. And as a result of that, I could sit there for maybe 15, 20 minutes because of some folks who wrote a letter many years before, and Connie would be probably 40 years old, and so it'd be 30, 35 years since she heard that letter was written and written into her heart. And because of those people, I could sit there for 15 minutes maybe and talk to her about the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are writing a letter. May God help us to be conscious of it as we go day by day, remembering that we are writing a letter. We have lived in Prince Albert for 13 years. And this city, I guess like all cities, has its problems, has its difficulties, has its struggles. It's a city of about 35,000 people, and it's the former home of Mr. John Diefenbaker, and I think it's because of him that the city has been blessed, if you want to call it that, with four prisons. There's the maximum penitentiary, which has been here for, well, probably 110 or 15 or 20 years. It's not all maximum there now. There's other areas as well. But then there's the women's prison, and there is the youth detention center and a general population prison. Because of that, partly possibly because of that, the city has got tremendous problems with alcohol and drugs. A couple of years ago, I think it was 2000, 2001, there was 3,200 arrests made in the city of 35,000 for public drunkenness. Saskatoon, which is an hour and a half away, has about eight times the population, and they had 1,400 arrests for public drunkenness. And I saw several in Prince Albert that should have been picked up that weren't picked up. So it's a pretty sad, major problems with alcohol. We came 13 years ago and have just started seeking grace from God day by day to work on the street. The people call us street pastors, whatever that means to them. And we just try and go on the street. We have a trailer. We park it on the street one day a week and give out Bible posters, coffee, tracts, sandwiches, different kind of food, whatever we find, and we give it out to people. And around an average right now of maybe 200 or 250 people come in during the day that we're out there. And really, the trailer's purpose is to build relationships with the people, to try and get a relationship built with people, get to know them so that we can speak to them. Outside the trailer, we have a 10 by 10 tent with about a dozen chairs in it, and others can sit in the trailer. There's room for 15 or 18 to sit in there. They can watch a DVD or just sit and read or come out in the tent outside, and we try to speak to people, pray with them, talk to them, encourage them, and mostly try to speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish we could claim great results. That's not altogether happening. I just have been impressed recently in looking at Acts 14 and verse 1, where it says there they both Paul and Barnabas, and it says they spoke in such a way. Now that's the ESV translation. The King James translation says they so spoke or so spake. But it says they spoke in such a way that many of the Jews and the Greeks or the Gentiles believed. And I often wonder, and reading that and pondering over it, how did they speak? What did they say that they spoke in such a way that many believed? Because somehow or another, we are seeking to speak each day at this with the trailer, and then I walk the streets through the week and try and speak to people, pray with them, and talk to them. But why is it that I must not be speaking in such a way that many believe? But we would certainly desire that. And to try and speak well of our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has said, told me years and years ago that when you read your Bible, he said, look for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's on every single page. And if only we could find and appreciate and value the Lord Jesus Christ, and our hearts be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, and speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe then we'd be speaking in such a way that many would believe. So on Wednesday, we park the trailer in the street. Everybody gets a tract in the food that we give out, be it a sandwich or cheese bun or whatever we're giving out. Everyone gets a tract when they get the cheese bun or the sandwich or the coffee. And we give out the same tract to everyone every week. And then next week, a different tract. That way, when people sit down, and they many times you'll see three or four or five of them sitting in the tent or in the trailer reading the tract, then we know what they're reading. And so we can try and relate a little bit better to them that way. Along with the tract, they get an invitation to a service and supper that we have on Thursday evening in the Good News Center, which is right downtown. And on an average week, we get around 6 to 8 to 20. We have a time of singing. We sing pretty much the same songs, so that, you know, maybe using the same songs in general, simple ones, even Sunday school choruses, to get them firmly ingrained in the people's minds. And then I speak for 15, 20, sometimes 22 or 3 minutes, and then we have supper. It's a little bit of a challenge for my wife to be able to prepare supper and have it, for you never know if you're going to get a dozen or 18 or what you get, but she serves things like chili and things like that. And we eat with the people and try then to build relationship, minister to the people. Now, Prince Albert's unique in the fact that in order to have a church building downtown, unless it was grandfathered in from way back, but nowadays you cannot open a church downtown in Prince Albert unless you have a retail outlet. So our Good News Center, we bought that about 12 years ago, and we use the upstairs for the Good News Center for our folks come and enjoy supper or whatever we're going to provide for them. And on the main floor, we have a cafe. Now, this was run for 4 or 5 years by a Christian lawyer in town. He's a very good lawyer, but he's a very poor businessman. And he lost money running the cafe, came up to COVID, and he quit. So in order to maintain and have our use of the building upstairs for the supper and service for the people, then we have opened the cafe ourselves as a Christian cafe. And we've hired a girl to run it. We opened it a few months ago, and we hired a girl to run it. My wife is the decorator, and she has decorated it all the way through with Bible poster, with track, with a text on the wall, a TV that's scrolling Bible verses through it, and various things in it to make it a Christian cafe. When you walk into the place, you know it's a religious cafe. Then we have items to pick up, like little tracts, Gospel of John, things like that. And so the girl running it is not a Christian. Her name is Cass, but she is showing more and more interest in spiritual things. She told me the other day, she said, I'm 40 years old, and in the last months running this place here, I've thought more about God than I did in the first 40 years. So she comes to the service as well that we have, the gospel service that we have on Thursday evening. She is always there as well. So we appreciate that, and we're praying that God will reach Cass and save her. We have not seen great results, as I've mentioned, but I do have to mention one couple. They came to the trailer for a long time, up to about 6 years ago. And then we never saw them again. Their name was Roly and Holly. We wondered where they disappeared to, but they told us later that they moved to Saskatoon to get out of the drug scene. Roly has spent 23 years in the penitentiary for murder, for drug dealing, and for violent criminal. And Holly spent 20 years on the streets of Prince Albert selling herself in prostitution. They came often in the trailer. Every week we were there, and different times you'd meet them on the street and talk to them. They moved away. We didn't know where they went. And about a year and a half ago, got a phone call. It was from Roly. Would we come down to Saskatoon to visit them? So my wife and I went down to Saskatoon, and we met them at a restaurant for lunch. Well, we were simply overjoyed to see what God had done in their lives. All alone, they had taken their Bible, started reading it, and after reading the Bible for a while, they said, you know, we need to pray. And so together, they started praying and asking God to deliver them. They stopped smoking, they stopped drinking, and they stopped drugs. But that didn't save them. Even though they were looking to the Lord during that 3.5 or so years. And then as they kept reading the Bible, one day, Roly says, I got down on my knees, a wretched sinner. And he said, I rose up a saint, trusted Christ as a savior. And Holly was saved a few weeks later. After they got in touch with us, we got in touch with the Christians at the Fairview Bible Chapel in Saskatoon. Maybe some of you might know Spencer Letts. Spencer is a farming brother from north of Edmonton. I forget the name of the assembly he's at up there. But he was in school, an agricultural school in Saskatoon, and Spencer is a tremendous visitor. So we put Spencer in touch with Roly and Holly, And he started going there each week or more often or whenever, having Bible studies with him, meeting them for coffee. And also our brother Mercer Armstrong, who travels around a certain amount amongst the assemblies teaching. And so Brother Mercer as well meets with Rowley and has a Bible study with him. And his wife Avril, Mercer's wife Avril, meets with Holly and has a Bible study with her. And a few, they had lived together. They weren't married. And then they asked the Christians there for baptism. And they explained to them that they really should be married first. So they were very happy to put their lives in order. And they wanted to get married in Prince Albert. So my wife and some other of the sisters put together a wedding in a church that one of the pastors, the Community Bible Church, gave us the church to use. And they were married about 3 months ago now. And then a few weeks later, we were down to the chapel to spend the Lord's Day there with them as Rowley and Holly were baptized, and they meet together. And it's just delightful to see the submission they have to the word of the Lord, to the word of God, and their encouragement. It's not that they don't carry along a certain amount of problems and difficulties. The Lord saves, but there's the scars that are also left. But they are doing very well. So that's a bright spot, I would say. There's some others that have been saved, but a lot of baggage they carry along, a lot of struggles they have, difficulties they face, problems they have because of the lifestyle that they have lived, and to get victory is the tremendous need that they have, each one of them have day by day. But their letters that they are now writing, and those letters are being written and being read by people. And I can just say that there has been so many people that we know that come into the trailer that know Rowley because he was a drug dealer for a long lot of years and lived a wicked, ungodly life. And so they come in and they say they hear that Rowley cleaned up his life and that Holly cleaned up her life. So the letter that they're written is certainly a tremendous blessing. And so that is kind of the work we are involved in. And we trust that God will continue to bless and save and help us to shine as a little bit of a light in a dark world here in Prince Albert. So if you travel through Prince Albert, you're welcome to stop at the Elam Cafe and have lunch or whatever you like. And if you would have any interest in taking a look at us, Elam Cafe, and the girl that runs it keeps a thing going on Facebook, so you can see whatever's going on in that place. So that is the main work we do. My wife and I have taken the services in the women's prison as well, but right now the prison is so overcrowded, we have not been able to go in the last little while because of overcrowding, and the chapel is filled with inmates sleeping in it, so they don't have any services at this time. And the rest of the time, my wife, she has Bible studies with different women, some one-on-one, others with two or three, and she meets once a week as well with three or four, five or six ladies, and they have a little prayer time, a time of praying for one another and for those that they meet. And so thank you very much, and may God bless the testimony and the light that is shining in your community as we seek to live our lives bringing glory to God and seeking to remember that we are a letter being written in the hearts of all that we cross paths with. I'll just pause and pray. Our Father, we just give thanks for your faithfulness, for your loving care, kindness, mercy toward us. Thank you, our Father, that you ever reached us and to the grace of God and put us into the family of God and brought us into a relationship with the living God and given us a future and a hope. And we're thankful, our Father, for the privilege that we have to gather together, remembering the Lord this morning, but to live our lives for the glory of God. So bless each one, we pray, and grant our Father that we would be encouraged in the Lord today as we give thanks in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe one other thing I would add, as far as being a letter, it's not always talking, it's not always speaking, but I can hardly speak of this truth of being a letter written into this world without remembering my wife's grandfather, who moved from England when he was 18 years old to Toronto, and he came by himself. He didn't know anybody in the city. He didn't know anybody in Canada. And he got a job at the Eaton's department store in downtown Toronto, where he worked for 50 years. But when he got there, he started riding the tram that was pulled on railroad tracks by horses, kind of like a streetcar, except it was pulled by horses. He got on the tram each morning, and wasn't long before he saw that each morning on that same tram that he got on, there was a man who would sit down, get himself settled, and then he would open up his Bible, and he'd start to read it. And Grandpa, who wasn't Grandpa then, he thought to himself, what's this guy doing reading a Bible on the tram? Like, this Bibles are for church. And so the one thing about the man with the Bible, the last seat to be taken was beside the man with the Bible. Grandpa was lonely, he was homesick, and he was curious. And he started to sit beside the man with the Bible. And that man with the Bible certainly wrote a very clear letter. And Grandpa read the letter, I suppose you could say, before he even sat down. And that dear brother, whoever he was, spoke to Grandpa about the Lord, told him about the Savior. And one day, either riding to this work or on the way home, I don't remember which, Grandpa trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, all because of the testimony of one man who wrote a letter without even saying a word. So may God help us as we go this week and the days to come until the Lord comes, or until we are taken home to write a simple letter for the glory of God. Thank you very much.